Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you on board. Shikellamy Milton tonight at Schick. Kevin Hurd, Dick Hort with the call here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Eagle 107 tomorrow. You'll have Fordham at Bucknell. Bucknell beat Fordham last year 21-0, although Fordham is 5-3 this year. Doug Birdsong and Kevin Hurd with the call on Eagle 107 tomorrow. Penn State at Purdue tomorrow at 3:30. We're on beginning at 2 o'clock. Then you also have tomorrow Oregon at USC. You have Pitt at Notre Dame. You have Kansas State against Oklahoma State. You have Alabama at LSU coming up tomorrow night. And Sunday, the Steelers will play against the Giants at MetLife Stadium, and the Eagles take on the Saints Monday night. So we are brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, pickle bar, snacks, and name the beverage they have it. It is one-stop shopping, and it is the stop you have to make before any big sports weekend like this one. With the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And we say good afternoon to Sarah Bartlett.
It's a good Friday afternoon. A lot going on this weekend. I'm excited.
Indeed, a lot going on this weekend. Indeed. Cleanup continues in our area. Sarah's done a great job, along with Allie Stevens and Mark Lawrence, of taking everyone around to the various problem areas and also making sure people knew exactly where to go for help. As News Radio 1070 WKOK was a vital link for many people early in the week. Now, maybe a little bit later in the week, with a lot of cleanup being done, we can have a little bit of fun and think about sports. And we're going to be doing so. Now, next half hour, off to Buffalo, off to Orchard Park, New York, to talk to Brian Scott of the Buffalo Bills, the former Nittany Lion, now in his 10th season in the NFL. A little perspective from somebody who has seen the Bill O'Brien offense up close and personal. A little bit different with Tom Brady at the trigger, but still Brian has seen it up close and personal as to what it can and can't do. And also Tom Hart, who will be announcing the Penn State-Purdue game on ESPNU tomorrow. Tommy will join us in the next half hour as well. But now we venture off to Pittsburgh. Giants and Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger's had a big year. He's done a great job with the Steelers so far. A lot of talk, Tony, on the Lenape Solar hotline, by the way. Powered by Lenape Solar. You can always go to LenapeSolar.com. About Dick LeBeau and what he's done with that defense. They haven't had Troy Polamalu a good chunk of this year. Hardly had him at all. Really had him for the Denver game and part of the Eagles game. That's been about it. And you wonder if he's taking up a roster spot. And then a lot of people have been complimentary this year of Dick LeBeau after overflowing with praise about him the last few years. So what are some of the things you're hearing, your thoughts as well, Tony? Let's see if we can get Tony back in the line. I think we had Tony here. Tony.
He's nearing the end of his career as well. But here we are about halfway through the season. And he's made the adjustment, and the team is playing well again. I do think we're going to learn a little bit more here on Sunday afternoon, but you have to give LeBeau and those players the proper credit.
The running game part of it. When Rashard Mendenhall returned to the lineup, you could see the difference he made. But going forward, what are some of the things you're seeing from some of the other guys that have taken just enough pressure off Ben?
I think one of the big things was the pressure that, or the challenge that the coaching staff put out there to Jonathan Dwyer. He was you look back at his college stats, and this was a guy who put up 1,300, 1,400 yards his last 2 years at Georgia Tech. He was the ACC Offensive Player of the Year. He had a pretty good career in college. He left a year early, you know, against a lot of people's wishes. So it maybe isn't a surprise that he stumbled early in his career. He came to camp overweight, which is not something that, you know, came to camp looking more like Casey Hampton than Rashard Mendenhall, you know, which is certainly not something that's going to get you on the good side of the coach. But they challenged him. He had a big fumble in the Oakland game, and Mike Tomlin publicly challenged Jonathan Dwyer to get better. And, you know, he's been running hard. I think he's picked up some assignments now. I think he really used to not care too much about, I don't want to say care too much, but didn't spend enough time on what his role was in the passing game. And, again, for a young running back, that's not unusual. You hear that a lot. But right. I think he finally has lived up to that. So that's been a big help. And, again, the O-line has also helped. I think Rashard Mendenhall probably runs through some of those holes that Dwyer had the past couple of weeks as well.
Has Mike Wallace been worth the wait?
Well, you know, if you'd asked me that question a week ago, I would have said absolutely not. He had that terrible game in Cincinnati with all the drops. Caught everything thrown his way last week, Steve. But, you know, to me, Mike Wallace is one of those guys that, you know, he's at his best when he truly is a deep threat, not when he's catching stuff underneath. Not that that's not a good part of the offense, but he has to be a big play guy to me. And I you haven't seen that too much from him this year. He's got the one long touchdown pass, and I think the game against Tennessee. But that's really the only Mike Wallace-type play we've seen from him this year. To be fair, the Steelers haven't taken as many chances downfield, at least to this point. But so far, you know, worth the wait, worth perhaps the extension that he's looking for? No, I at this point, it's hard to justify giving him the kind of numbers that he was looking for.
I agree. I agree with that assessment completely, that Mike Wallace has played the first half of the season the way he played the second half of last season.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's, you know, that's a great comparison.
Because the bottom line is this: in sports, what makes long-term success happens is the ability to adjust. People get onto your game. When they get onto your game, it's then how you adjust to that, and also they sit back. Now they have to make another adjustment. If you can do that, see, he has not shown me the ability to adjust. I don't know about you, but that's what I say. I don't see a guy that has adjusted to the coverage he's getting, adjusted to the play calls and things like that.
I think that's a great point. I think that's more than fair. And, you know, when you compare that to the guy that lines up across the field from him, Antonio Brown, that's
the guy
who has adjusted to different roles.
Right.
You know, he was a number three guy, then he's the number two guy, and he's become the number one guy and adjusted to offense or defenses game planning against him. So I couldn't agree with that more. I think that, you know, it's really shit as to who the receiver that Pittsburgh needs to have long term, and they made that decision early in the year. But you know, the way Wallace is playing now, I think Emmanuel Sanders can fill that role.
That's a very good point. Can you put a value, not just yourself, but the people you've talked to with the Steelers, have they been able to put a value on what Heath Miller means?
Wow, more and more and more every week. I mean, this guy might be having the best season of his career so far, and that's quite a career. He's one catch away from becoming the all-time Steelers leading. I think it's one touchdown catch away from the all-time Steelers tight end touchdown leader. I hope that made sense. But, yeah, I mean, this guy is just, you know, fantastic. And I think especially with the way they're running the offense now, which is a lot of the, you know, quick passes, and Ben Roethlisberger's called it the dink and dunk, but, boy, it's working to his benefit, and it's worked to Heath Miller's benefit as well. I also think the fact that those two guys have played together for so long, there really is something to be said for knowing one another really well and having that kind of, you know each other like the back of your hand and know when you're going to cut a route off and know when you're going to sit down, know when Ben's, you know, scrambling and trying to keep a play alive. And there was a great example of that last game, the touchdown that Heath Miller caught. He, you know, changed his route, darted across the back of the end zone, got himself open, and Ben Roethlisberger was able to find him. But, man, he has been as valuable to Ben Roethlisberger as anybody has this year.
Has the Ravens situation changed the Steelers' mentality?
You know, they won't say that it has, but you know, it was just a couple of weeks ago, it looked like the Ravens were going to run away with the conference or with the division, and now they're a game behind, and they get to play them twice. So they certainly look a lot more vulnerable. I think the Steelers understand what the Ravens are going through as far as injuries go, and so I don't think, you know, because of karma, these guys have been through it before. I think they're going to probably keep their mouth shut a little bit, although there's always one or two guys that doesn't seem to care about that, so I'm sure we'll hear somebody pop off at some point. I mean, you know, I think it's right there for them, and they certainly understand that. And Larry Foote has kind of talked about these opportunities being there, not mentioning the Ravens, about opportunities, and it's hard not to connect the dots with that.
The NHL lockout, I'll shift gears on you for a moment. What, if anything, have you heard? Because this would be a very long winter in Pittsburgh without them.
Yeah, I don't talk to these guys. I don't talk to to the players, much at all. But you hear from the guys who do, from the writers who were there, from the writers who have some relationships with these guys, and all you hear is negativity. The players are down right now, and there's not a lot of optimism that they're going to be playing anytime soon. And you're right. We still have college football for a month, and once Thanksgiving's over, that's when you really start to miss hockey. And we're darn near there. And Steve, I just can't understand for the life of me why these two sides can't get this done. They seem to be close. It seems to be almost ridiculous the numbers that they're arguing over. And I don't know that hockey can afford to make their forget the hardcore fans, can make the casual fans who've been coming around lately to make them wait. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I think it's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame, and I agree exactly with that assessment. It's the casual fan you're going to lose. It was my sense, and I'd like to get your read on it, it was my sense that the NHL over the last three seasons had started to build some legitimate momentum where they had expanded that casual fan base.
Yeah, I think so. They had a nice TV contract finally. I mean, before, 5-6 years ago, before the last lockout, you had to search and search and search to find a game to watch, or to find the station that carried them. But now, they're on NBC. They've got a nice, legitimate contract. They've got two marketable guys in Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby. And you can like Ovechkin or you can dislike Ovechkin, but he plays that role up very, very well. He's a very marketable guy. Crosby, certainly takes his time in front of the media as well. And you have the biggest markets in the NHL have teams that were certainly Stanley Cup caliber teams this year with Chicago and New York and Los Angeles. So with all those things going for them, I just can't for the life of me figure out why they would put a stop to that momentum, because I think you're exactly right. They finally did start to gather some momentum.
Tony, it's always a pleasure. Appreciate it very much, and you can always catch Tony, Pittsburgh Sports Report, anytime. Tony, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, Steve. Thank you.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. All right, I want to know, I want some honesty from you. When I asked about the Ravens situation, did you cringe?
No, I wanted to, but I mean, I think it was a very legitimate question, and I think that, I'm a little scared about the Ravens, too. So,
The reason I asked Tony that question about the mentality of the Steelers is because, I don't have to tell you what the Ravens situation is, I just feel like the window of opportunity reopened for the Steelers, because about a month ago, the window was closed.
Right, exactly. And whether the Steelers are getting better, which, they are, and they're looking up kind of, but it also has to do with the Ravens looking down.
And injuries, a lot of injuries. Injuries to leaders. Lewis is a leader. Webb, they get Suggs back. Suggs looked better against Houston than I thought he would, sir. He really did.
Yeah, I mean, what he was doing there, I think, is kind of incredible for having the kind of injury he did and coming back that quick. But, you're still wary.
You're lighting candles, aren't you? All right. you went from swaggering around the station like, it's the Ravens' year, to now, hoping to make the playoffs. All right. Next half hour, Brian Scott, Buffalo Bills, former Nittany Lions, been in the league for 10 years now. We'll talk about a variety of things, including Bill O'Brien's offense. And Tom Hart will call tomorrow's game on ESPNU. Tommy will join us from West Lafayette, Indiana. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on board on this Friday afternoon. Milton at Chickalemme tonight, 7 o'clock, the kickoff. Kevin Herr in lockdown mode with Dick Hort. Next week's prep should be a breeze because the two teams play again. It all depends on location, and location will be determined by tonight's game. Tomorrow, Doug Birdsong and Kevin Herr, Eagle 107, Bucknell Radio Network. Bison take on Fordham tomorrow. Joe Susan's team won last year at Fordham, 21-0. Fordham, though, having a good year this year. They're 5-3. 1 o'clock, the kickoff tomorrow. You'll hear it on Eagle 107. Penn State, Purdue tomorrow at Ross-Ade Stadium. Jack and I on the air at 2 o'clock with Roger Corey, Jeff Tarman from Ross-Ade in West Lafayette. We fly tonight to go there. And 3:30 will be the kick. It'll be on ESPNU. We'll talk about that in a moment. Also tomorrow, number 1 Alabama at number 5 LSU at Death Valley at Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge. 1-5 in the BCS. Number 2 Kansas State takes on Oklahoma State. Number 3 Notre Dame at home with Pitt. Ray Graham ran into some legal trouble, but will play in the game for Pitt tomorrow. And number 4 Oregon, with that explosive offense and an ever-improving defense, will play at USC tomorrow. Sunday, it's the Steelers and the Giants at MetLife Stadium, Eagles and Saints on Monday night. Our show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, where the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and the Lenape Solar Hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. The Winter Classic looked like it's going to be canceled. Today was the deadline for it, and it looks like it's going to be Winter Classic at the Big House in Ann Arbor is going to be canceled. Now, they do have the facility booked for next year, so they would just keep it there next year. But if they're bagging the Winter Classic, I mean, what are the odds of the season being played if they're bagging the Winter Classic? So that's gone by the boards. Even though the underlings in this are actually meeting for the first time in 2 weeks in this dispute. Next half hour, Orchard Park, New York, home of the Buffalo Bills. We'll talk to Brian Scott, former Nittany Lion, Bills safety. He's played 10 years in the league with the Atlanta Falcons and the Buffalo Bills. And if anybody knows about facing a Bill O'Brien-coached offense, he would, because the Bills face the Patriots twice a year as division rivals. We'll talk to B. Scott about that. And also Tom Hart. Tomorrow's game between Penn State and Purdue will be on ESPNU, and Tommy will have the call of the game tomorrow with John Congemi at Ross-Ade Stadium. We'll go out to West Lafayette, and we'll talk with Tom in the next half hour about the matchup between Penn State and Purdue. So we're looking forward to that. So plenty going on in the show. We've already had a lot going on in the show today. We've had Lauren Crispell on last in the 3:30 to a 4 o'clock half hour. And, of course, this half hour, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. So we've had a lot going on. And we have a lot going on next half hour as well. And the action doesn't stop. We have the news block coming up. And after that, then we get ready for high school football. So it's a big, big weekend. This is a fun station to be, you know, it's a fun station to be a part of. You know, and it's an important station to be a part of. Look at the great work done by Sarah Bartlett, Allie Stevens, and Mark Lawrence early in the week with the closings, the cancellations, the reports on the Red Cross, shelters, things like that. When the storm hit, and, of course, the AccuWeather forecast and the great job Joe Lundberg did. So when something wasn't quite right, this station became something that people relied on and counted on in that moment of crisis. Now we get to the fun part of the week. We can do a little bit of sports and talk about that with this show. We did a lot of closing cancellations, postponements on this show as well. But now we have the fun part of the week. High school football tonight, Milton and Schick. And, of course, Penn State football tomorrow with Purdue. All right, news coming up, bottom of the hour. As we kick it into another gear, 2.5 hours to kick off between Milton and Shikellamy, regular season finale. Next half hour, Brian Scott, Buffalo Bills, the former Nittany Lion. And from West Lafayette, where he's already doing his homework for tomorrow, Tom Hart from ESPN. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's must-stop time on Reagan Street.
Your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show on this Friday afternoon is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Pickle bar, snacks, you name it. It is one-stop shopping when you want to hunker down and just enjoy the weekend. We're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Lanapi Solar Hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. We say good afternoon to Sarah Bartlett.
Good afternoon.
It's great to have you on board, as always, Sarah.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
How about that third wheel we had earlier in the week? He'll be on with Dick Hort tonight, by the way, Kevin Will, for Shikellamy and Milton. And I know he's excited about playoff time, and he should be excited about playoff time. It's something that Bill O'Brien and I talked about on last night's show. Somebody in the audience asked about playoffs, and Bill said, look, you work all season to get to that. And that's what makes the big difference. So when Bob Buhner and I, Sarah and I, kid Kevin about the playoffs because of his enthusiasm and exuberance about it, but it is justified because that's what makes, I mean, that's where the casual fan jumps in and they get interested because people love games with stakes. Guy that we know has played a few games along the line in his career with some stakes, whether it was at Penn State, the Atlanta Falcons, or now with the Buffalo Bills. Brian Scott, and he joins us on the Lenape Solar Hotline, powered by Lenape Solar. You can always go to lenapesolar.com. B. Scott, great to have you on board. Welcome. It's great to have you with us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Let's start, first of all, with your career in the NFL. We know it's a business, and in going in the business of the NFL, how well did Penn State prepare for that, Brian?
You know, they prepared me actually very, very well. A lot of the lessons that I learned while I was at school, and it was simple things such as being on time. 5 minutes is 10 minutes late. Accountability, just knowing the fundamentals of the game. I can't say that I couldn't have been better prepared.
The best years of your NFL career have been your latter years. I mean, has the game slowed down that much for you because of experience?
I think it definitely has. When you first get in the league, you know, you rely so much on just your athleticism and your talent. But as the game slows down and, you know, some say, well, you might lose a step, you really have to rely on more film study and just kind of knowing the game intimately. And I think that has played a huge part in my career.
You've always been such a well-rounded individual, playing the piano, your music career. How much has that allowed you to escape the rigors of the NFL?
The art has always been a strong passion of mine, and it still rings true even today. I used to do this back at Penn State when we would travel, find a piano at the hotel. I still do that every so often for away trips now. And even though I don't get a chance to spend too much time during the season to get into music, I still find an escape every once in a while.
I've made a point to a couple of people that within the college ranks, you look at Bill O'Brien's offense, and there really isn't anybody in the NFL that runs anything like that. I said, if you really want to find out what other people think. You have to be in the defensive rooms of the Buffalo Bills, Miami Dolphins, and New York Jets to see them twice a year. So you saw the Patriots twice a year, and with Bill O'Brien calling the plays, and obviously Tom Brady is the trigger. What are some of the keys to defending an offense like that when you see it? Now, obviously, we know the talent, you know, what the Patriots have talent-wise, but what about the scheme of it?
The scheme, to be honest, it is really not a complicated scheme. It's their execution. They execute so well, and they pay attention to detail. So I knew when Coach O'Brien took the job at Penn State, I knew they were going to be okay because he was going to carry over those same philosophies to the Penn State program, and which he has. And I'll be honest, I think it was the third game of the season Penn State was playing, and I saw McGloin make a check at the line, and we had just played the Patriots, and I was like, that was a Tom Brady check. And I kind of got excited because I was like, okay, he got those guys rolling.
That's amazing that you would look and think that same way. Obviously, with Gronkowski, Hernandez, the tight ends, the size of the tight ends, does that become a problem for a secondary, especially a safety?
It does because it creates a lot of mismatches. Hernandez, he's faster and shiftier than your typical linebacker, but he's stronger than your typical safety, and the same applies to Gronkowski. I don't think there's a more complete tight end in the league than Gronkowski. It's not that he's the biggest or the fastest or the strongest or has the best hands, but it's that combination of all of those things that makes him great.
I know you thought the world of Joe Paterno. Moving forward, how do you feel about Penn State now in the hands of Bill O'Brien?
I'm still a huge supporter of the program. I tune in every weekend that I can. I'm so proud of those guys. And I knew it wasn't going to be easy, but the ones that hung in there, I'm just so proud. I just can't say it enough. I don't think there's been a day that has gone by that I actually don't wear something Penn State to the facility.
Well, you've certainly made Penn State proud by everything that you've done in your career at every stop along the way. And Buffalo's obviously been a bit great stop for you as well. We appreciate not only what you did here at Penn State, but how you've made everyone proud about how you've carried yourself on and off the field since you left here, Brian.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And that's Brian Scott, Buffalo Bills. Great to have him on board to talk about the offense. He says, not complicated, but it's the matchups, and the tight ends create the matchup problems. We'll come back, talk to Tom Hart out in West Lafayette with ESPN getting ready to call tomorrow's game. We'll talk to him in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Brewers Outlet Sunbury has all your football tailgating supplies. They have beer, they have snacks, they have soda, they have water. And don't forget plenty of beer. Choose from a huge selection of imports and microbrews. Check out their incredible deals. They have everything that comes together to make a great beverage shoppable store. Then there's the fresh roasted peanuts daily and the help yourself pickle bar. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket. Reagan Street, Sunbury wants you to enjoy the cooler weather. And don't forget the beer.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. To West Lafayette we go. Tom Hart calling the game tomorrow on ESPNU, the Nittany Lions, and Purdue. Tommy, welcome. Great to have you back on board again.
I can't wait. I'm kind of offended, though, the fact that you've delayed your travels just so you wouldn't have to go to dinner with me.
You'd have no idea how much money
that wouldn't have any. That wouldn't have anything to do with your performance next week, would it?
Maybe. How's it been? It's great to hear from you. You go from the Braves to doing this. Fun ride for you this year?
Yeah, you know, it beats working, that's for sure. And I'm really excited. It's been a really fun year for me at ESPN because I get so much more versatility in seeing so many teams from throughout the nation, you know, typically ACC and Big East, but a handful of Big Ten games. So this will be my third Big Ten game, which is always nice to get back to familiar territory and see friendly faces from, you know, the radio guys to the replay officials. I mean, I got replay officials coming to the booth like I was the prodigal son. I mean, guys, I've worked four games with them, and they're giving me man hugs like we're going out for a steak dinner afterwards. It's great. You can't beat being in Big Ten land.
No, you can't. This will give me an idea of the teams that you have seen in person this season. Give me a couple that have stuck out to you where you said to yourself, you know what, I'm impressed.
Well, Louisville impressed me strictly from quarterback play. I think Teddy Bridgewater has done some amazing things for being still a very young guy who was thrown into the fire last year as a freshman. And Charlie Strong, obviously, is an amazing coach. No one knows how long he'll be with the Cardinals, and he's got great things ahead of him, no matter where that may be. I'm not sure how tough their schedule has been and if it's been a good, as an undefeated, if it's been as good an indicator how tough they'll be, maybe even in bowl season against great competition, so that the win against Cincinnati was certainly big for them. You know, we saw Wisconsin a couple weeks ago, and I was really impressed with the way that the Badgers have come around, and Monte Ball has really gotten in the flow of things. So if you think about that weird concussion and off-campus fight situation that he was in, he was so far behind schedule going into the season. It's kind of like, now he's hit his September, and here we are, you know, in November. So I think Wisconsin is going to continue to get better behind their running game. And let's face it, unless your name's Russell Wilson, the offensive line and the run game has been the secret to their success and will continue to be.
How much of a loss, though, is Joel Stave? Because it looked like he was starting to at least understand the role of what they needed from a quarterback at Wisconsin.
Yeah, when we saw them, he understood the role. He was managing the game, but I got to be, you know, perfectly honest, and it's unfair to compare anybody to Russell Wilson. And now I think outsiders know just how impressive Wilson is and was last year. But the bottom line is, I think Stavi took some chances, and when he had opportunities, he did not do a great job of advancing the ball. You know, they're Wilson gave them a vertical threat in the passing game and was also a threat to run. So they're really missing that at the quarterback position. So I don't think there's a huge drop off. What do we call that in baseball? We call that value over replacement player, right?
Right,
well,
exactly.
At Wisconsin, I don't think you're really taking a huge leap off of a cliff there, especially with what James White and Monte Ball can do.
Yeah, no question. In fact, I mean, you know how I felt about Russell Wilson. I voted him Big Ten Player of the Year last year. That's why I went that way and not Ball. I mean, I just thought he was the most significant player in the entire conference. I thought he swung the race.
Absolutely. I mean, he allowed them to do so many things. And I kind of had a feeling with Russell Wilson that they were going to do so much more with him when it came to running the ball and a little bit of option, some stuff that I saw from them in practice. And I thought that Wisconsin's coaching staff did a great job of allowing him to be successful, but I don't think they ever realized his potential. And no knock on them, they had a great season, but he could have done and had the possibility to do a lot more.
I want to get back to Louisville for a second time. How impressed were you by the overall athleticism of that team outside of Teddy Bridgewater? Because it looks like Charlie's built a team that has a real ACC-SEC feel to it with team speed.
Yeah, good recruiter. Good running backs there. Good athletes on both sides of the ball for Louisville. And quite honestly, you know, you look at their competition now in the Big East, so we got to see Rutgers gosh, the season's flying by. Maybe that was 5 weeks ago or so. And, you know, I don't know what kind of fight Rutgers can give them. Rutgers is a chopping wood, tough, blue-collar team. But in terms of athletes, Louisville has done such a great job of kind of following that Rutgers model in years past, going down into South Florida, mining that talent, bringing them back up to the bluegrass state. So they've been impressive. But, you know, I go back. This just came up in the Purdue coaches meetings as well. Gary Nord's son, the offensive coordinator at Purdue, his son is a tight end on that team. And we talked a little bit about Louisville's schedule strength. So the question remains, you know, it's not fair, I don't think, to say where would they be in the Big Ten. But I think what is fair is to say what will happen when they face a team as athletic as them. And will they be able to execute like they have so far this season? I mean, they beat a Kentucky team that has one win. They beat a team from Southeast Missouri, I think, that has one win. You know, their schedule strength seems pretty low right now if you put pencil to paper.
You mentioned you had a meeting with Gary Nord, and we're talking with the coordinators today. How does Gary feel about what Robert Marv can bring to the table?
To a man, their coaching staff is just amazed. I mean, you know, and we'll tell this story during the broadcast tomorrow, but this is an incredible story, Steve. And I don't know of one like it. But 4 weeks ago, they were told that the kid's college career was done. And so they basically scrubbed him from the game plan. And they said, all right, well, three ACLs later, and it's a shame to lose him, but we got to move on. And Marv came out to practice, and he started running around a little bit. A couple weeks later, he said, guys, I think I can play. And, you know, they're dumbfounded. Hey, this guy's torn his ACL three times, and he's playing on one that's torn right now, and he hasn't really missed a step. He's not walking with a limp. He hasn't slowed down. Now, he has slowed down from when he was at Miami. I mean, he's older. I think after the first ACL, when I saw him a couple years ago, he had certainly slowed a bit. But he just seems to be the same player for them now as he was getting ready for the season, which is some sort of medical miracle. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, this is how long he's been around. When I did the show last night with Bill O'Brien, his weekly coaches show, when he was at Duke with Ted Roof, they recruited Robert Marv. And, of course, you know how many years Bill spent with the Patriots. I mean, that's how long ago. I mean, Bill recruited Robert Marv.
There's a great piece online. And sorry, I'm walking into my dance club right now to get loose for tomorrow.
I'm not surprised.
There's a great piece right now online written by Bruce Feldman at CBS. He documents, and Feldman wrote a great book a few years ago when he was basically embedded with Ed Orgeron and the Mississippi staff. And talking about recruiting, the book is called Meat Market. It's a fantastic read for any sports fan, but specifically college football fans, to understand the back rooms of what it's like moving up toward signing day. Robert Marv, when he was at Plant High School in Tampa, committed to Mike Shula at Alabama, right? So you're talking about that long ago, and then Feldman went back and documented it. 48 coaches have now moved on since he was being recruited, 48 coaches who recruited him. And you have some schools, such as Kansas, who have already moved on to the guy who replaced the guy who replaced the guy who recruited Robert Marv.
That's amazing.
I mean, who could we compare that to in Big Ten sports history? I mean, is this kind of an A.C. Earl type of situation?
Yeah, it seems like it. It's amazing. I mean, it's amazing. The only other guy I can think of is like Jeff George.
Sure. I mean, I always thought A.C. Earl was at Iowa for at least 12 years.
Yeah, he was, I'll tell you, because in the and Penn State entered the league, and Penn State got 3 years of me, and he was already 34 at the time. So, looking at Matt McGloin on a DVD, and you've watched Matt in person so many times in your career, Tom, what do you see in Matt McGloin now within this system and his maturity at quarterback?
You know, I think what strikes me is Matt was always a quarterback with great confidence, but he has been mistake prone, or at least was until he got into this system. And he'll still take a few chances, but he's such a cerebral quarterback that he knows where he's going. And one thing that stood out on film, and this may sound weird to say, but he also knows where he isn't going. What I mean by that is, especially if you think about what Minnesota did to Purdue last week, where their young quarterback was just able to use, you know, a couple of shoulder fakes and ball fakes to get deep balls. Matt knows we've used Carter, you know, the last three series, a little pump fake to the flat and the tight end, and I've got Robinson open, and I can give my wide receiver time to get open and let him go up and make a play. And, you know, that's probably a pretty understated aspect about the quarterback position, not only knowing where you want to go with the football, but knowing where you don't want to go. You know, I guess you could compare him in your neck of the woods to Tim Frazier. I mean, to be a great point guard, right, you need to know how to set up your scores. And he's able to set up his wide receivers and his tight ends by getting them the ball in space where they can do something with it, by getting the linebacker off of that wide receiver in zone coverage so he can open them up a little bit.
Tommy, looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. Appreciate it. We're headed toward the top of the hour here, but I can't wait to see you tomorrow. And nothing is to be put on my bill when I get there. Okay, Tom, thanks. Tom Hart, the play-by-play voice of ESPN football. He's on ESPNU. You'll hear Tom tomorrow if you watch the TV broadcast and stick with them. You'll hear him tomorrow working with John Congemi on the Penn State-Purdue game at Ross-Ade Stadium. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stop by. Time to do it is now. One-stop shopping, pickle bar, snacks, and, of course, beverages at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, and, of course, the Lenape Solar Hotline, powered by Lenape Solar. You can always go to lenapesolar.com. Milton at Shikellamy tonight with 7 with Kevin Hurd, Dick Corp. Tomorrow, Eagle 107, Bucknell Fordham at Mathewson Memorial Stadium with Doug Birdsong and Kevin Hurd. Penn State football, Jack Hamm and me, Ross-Ade Stadium beginning at 2 on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Have a great weekend.